seated, please.
Court is ready to hear argument in 090857, Jose Carreras, M.D. versus Carlos Francisco Marroquin from Hidalgo County in the 13th District.
May it please the court, Mr. Ho will present argument for the petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Court, this is your second case today on notice. I'm beginning to pick up on a theme here. But if the court will remember back when Article 4590I was first passed and there was an expert report requirement, this court had to deal with what is required in an expert report. The legislature gave you some guidelines. You had to set out standard of care, proximate cause, and a breach of the standard of care, but you all had to interpret that in Palacios. And this is the Palacios case for notice. Under 4590I, there really wasn't much required for notice. You just had to send a letter. So now, under 74351, the legislature has changed it a bit, and in 2003, it added a requirement of having an authorization. So what exactly is required for notice under 74351? The quick answer is not much. Not much. You don't have to set out what the allegations are. You don't have to set out the defendants you're suing. You don't even have to set out that you're suing under 74351. If you did, this case is already gone because their notice actually said it was under 4590I. You don't have to set out the strict requirements like you have under 89.0041 that you just heard about date of suit, things like that. There's not much required. There's only one thing required, an authorization. That's the only thing that's required under 74351. I'm sorry, 74.051. And if you look at it, it says any person asserting the health care shall give written notice, and then specifically says the notice must be accompanied by an authorization for release of protected health information, as provided by section 74.052. Now, yesterday I think you all dealt with the situation, the interaction of the statute of limitations coupled with, under chapter 33, responsible third parties. And so basically, that's a different situation. And Justice Green, before you ask, I am familiar with the Flat case, and I don't agree with the result. But at any rate, in that case, you're talking about keeping somebody from being able to file a lawsuit, a statute of limitations. In this case, this is a granting by the legislature of 75 additional days. They're saying, look, if you do this, and you know what, if you do this as to only one defendant, we'll give you an extra 75 days. And that's the only requirement. They had to provide an authorization. And if you talk about, well, why is the purpose behind this to encourage settlements and reduce costs? Well, since the notice doesn't have to give you anything else, it's imperative you get this authorization so you can get the medical records. Yes, Justice Lynn.
What's the purpose of the 60-day abatement in 74.052 if limitations isn't told under 74.051? In other words, why abate a claim that's time barred? Why is that in there?
Why? I didn't quite follow that. Okay. Why does it give you six? Why does it toll it for 60 days?
What's the purpose of the 60-day abatement?
The abatement is right. If you have a lawsuit and the statute hadn't run, but you've got a lawsuit and they didn't give you notice, mm-hmm. Then you can abate it for 60 days. You can get the medical authorization. You can go out and get medical records and see if you can settle the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, this talks about, and it assumes you're going to file it in time before the statute runs. Now, if the statute's already run, well, then you've got a problem because you didn't give notice.
So you're saying it just applies in that narrow situation.
Actually, that's the broad situation. The narrow one is when they didn't do it and the statute's run already. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, what's a report and not a report? I remember you all dealing with that in Ray Watkins, a situation where it was brought up on a writ of mandamus, and it says, well, this is just a piece of paper, really. And I believe it was Justice Brister who said, this is no more an expert report than my son's tricycle is a Harley. Colorful language, but it made the point. And what is a notice letter? Could it just be a letter just saying we're going to sue you? Evidently, yeah. There's only one requirement. You have to provide an authorization. And if you do, then the legislature grants you an extra 75 days in which to file the lawsuit. Now, it's not saying that if you don't give the notice, you can't file it. That's already been determined under 4590I. I think it was Sheps versus Presbyterian basically said, look, if you don't get it, it is mandatory. But we're not going to kick the case out. What we're going to do is say the resolution is an abatement. And now the legislature has incorporated that in here and said, look, it will be an abatement. But that has nothing at all to do with whether or not you get the 75 days. And so basically what we're dealing with here is a situation where if you get the authorization and then you're able to get the medical records, then maybe the case can be resolved. And the whole point of this is to resolve the case, or try to resolve it, before the lawsuit's filed. Once it's filed, you know, the doctor's got a lot of things. It's public record now. It can go against his reputation. And that's why it's encouraging you, the plaintiff's attorney, to do the notice correctly. And it's really a carrot approach, a stick and a carrot, if you want to. The stick is, if you file the lawsuit and you don't give notice, then it's going to be abated for 60 days, assuming you still have time and the statute hadn't run. But if you do it right, you know what? We're going to give you an extra 75 days in which to file the lawsuit.
What if you serve the notice, but your authorization is defective?
That's the interesting case that's come up. I think that's the Rabaton case or something like that. I disagree with that. I think if it's defective, it's defective. And you know, you have strict requirements that are supposed to be done. As Justice Johnson might say, it's a hoop you have to jump through. And I'm one of those attorneys that's all about, as our former president say, strategery. And I will look for the ways and to find a way to use the statute to get my client dismissed. I think that's what we as lawyers are supposed to do. And I think even the Chief Justice said that. You look at the statute and develop a litigation strategy to get your client out of the case. And in this particular case, that's what we were doing. And if you don't give a proper authorization, then it doesn't really help you any. And if you look at the, I think the difference they made in that case was, they said, well, look, they were able to get some records. But again, I mean, you could get records all kinds of different ways. Is that what's required? No, it says a strict requirement, give the authorization, and then it even goes so far as to say the authorization in the form prescribed by 74.052. And then it, just like some of the other things, it actually sets out a form that you're supposed to follow. And if you look at the form, it even says it's to facilitate investigation and evaluation of the healthcare claim described in the accompanying notice of healthcare claim. And later on, and also the defense of any litigation arising out of the claim made the basis of the accompanying healthcare liability claim. There are no requirements for the notice other than the authorization. And if you get that, there's nothing left. You don't even have to give a notice.
Your argument in this case is that because the authorization was not with the notice, limitations was not told.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you, suppose the authorization had been with the notice, but a few days later it was revoked, which 74052B allows. It says the authorization can be modified. If it is modified or revoked, then you have some more time and so on. It seems to contemplate revocation. What would be the effect on tolling at that point?
I think under the statute, it would be tolled. I think you have to look at the plain meaning. This court, I think.
If you file, just so I'm clear, if you file a notice and the authorization accompanies it, but then you wait 5 days and revoke the authorization, that would effectuate the 75-day tolling.
74.052 gives you the right to do that. This court has said in Fitzgerald that they assume, and that's y'all assuming, that the legislature tends to say what it means. I'm not sure that they necessarily do, but that's what they say. And if they say, you, as long as you have the authorization with it in the form we prescribe, and you give that notice before the statute runs, it tolls it for 75 days.
But if you don't, it's not tolled.
That's
and
right.
I wonder what sense that makes if all you get is an authorization you can't use.
None. But then again, this is the legislature. And again, does it really encourage settlement anyway? No, it really doesn't. But this is what the legislature said. This is what they set out. And it's just like the statute of limitations. You know, you could have a case that everybody remembers everything, pristine memories, but if it's one day past it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any sense, but those are the laws because we have to have bright lines. And this is a bright line situation. Actually, that's all I had. I thought there'd be more questions.
Are there any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Hull.
Thank you.
The court is ready to hear argument now from the respondents.
May it please the court, Mr. Mancias will present argument for the respondent.
My name is Fernando Mancias, and with Fabian Guerrero, we represent the Marroquin plaintiffs. I introduce Ms. Cynthia Marroquin, who's here behind me. For this reason, the summary in the court's brochure this morning has that the deceased is the wife. The deceased is their daughter, actually. Ms. Marroquin is here on behalf of herself, her husband, also the deceased daughter, Priscilla Ann Marroquin, who died at the age of 23 after seeing Dr. Carrera. Now, in this case, we're asking the court to deny the petition for review In this very same case, this court about 2 years ago also denied a petition for review involving the issue of the expert report, and we asked the court to do the same thing in this case on this request for review. And the reason is very simple. We ask you to follow the reasoning and the logic and the decision in the Hill versus Russell case out of Austin, and also the opinion given by Judge Rose Vela in the Carrera versus Marroquin, which is the 13th Court of Appeals opinion in this case. And the reason is this. Ms. Marroquin, to us, gave notice to Dr. Carreras, and it's true, we did not include the medical authorization. We did include the authorization right after that, and the authorization was complete.
How long after?
I think a couple of weeks or so.
Sorry now? How long?
About a couple of weeks or so, maybe longer than that, maybe a month after the...
It was about 7 months.
Maybe 7 months.
Why was that?
I'm sorry?
Why did it take 7 months?
To be honest with you, I had somebody else working on the case, and I don't know if I bypassed it or missed it or whatever the case may be. But it's still our position that the tolling in this case was proper, that the trial court denying the motion for summary judgment was proper, and the court affirming that denial is also proper. And the reason is very simple. We believe and we feel that the legislature, if they wanted the result that Mr. Hall is asking for, Dr. Carrera, they could have placed in 74.051 language that if the authorization is not included, it does not, it will not toll the 75-day period. In this case, as the Hill Court reasoned, and also the court for Judge Vela in Corpus Christi, they reasoned that there's a separate remedy for not including the medical authorization, and that's in 74.052, where they say that failure to include the authorization can cause, you can get a today abatement in this case. If the court, if the lawmakers wanted to get the result that Mr. Cole is asking for, all they had to say is that 74.051, failure to include the authorization, does not toll the 75 days on the statute of limitations. And we're asking this court to also adopt the Hill reasoning and the Court of Appeal reasoning in the Carreras versus Marroquin case out of Corpus Christi.
Are there any questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
But going back to what Justice Heck was asking about, what's the point if you have an authorization that's given and then revoked? What's the point of just providing it to one defendant and not the other, and it still tolls it? That doesn't make much sense either, because you can't get the records. The other defendant you may not even know about, but that's just the way it is. The only thing I'd want to respond to is the Hill versus Russell case, and that's where both basically that court, the Austin court, as well as Corpus Christi, adopted the approach that, hey, if the legislature wanted to say this, they could have easily put it in there. Legislature did put it in there in two different places. It says if it's done as provided by this statute, if notice is given as provided by the statute, and then says in two different places it is mandatory that the authorization be attached to it. So clearly Hill, I think, is based on faulty logic, saying that the legislature could have put it in there. They're basically saying the legislature should have said, and if you don't give the notice and authorization, then the statute doesn't toll. But it says specifically, if you don't give notice as provided by this statute. It doesn't just say if you don't give notice. So it has that language in there.
And Mr. Mancius makes the point that 74.052 provides a specific and separate remedy for failure to provide the authorization, not
sure.
The notice.
And
that's abatement.
And that's abatement. I'm sorry.
The argument then being that abatement is the remedy for failure to provide the authorization. Dismissal or not obtaining tolling is the remedy for failing to provide the notice, that they're separate.
Well, there's no dismissal here at all. It's just they don't get the advantage.
Absence of tolling.
Right, the absence of tolling. That's their, the legislature says, you want tolling, do this. And if you don't provide the notice, well, then we're going to do this, which is we're going to abate it. That's all. Any other questions? Mr. Medina? Nothing.
Thank both counsel for your very concise argument. The cause is submitted, and the court will take a brief recess.